John Bachman, who pierces people's face. The K is for the kill, L is for the lover, and the M is for the mutiny, and I wish it didn't happen.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg. Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, where's my drop?
Now the N is for not, oh no, my phone's just sinking. The B is for the peg leg that keeps me standing up. A Q is for quantum leap, R is for the rum, and the S is for the scurvy, which I wish I didn't get.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg.
That's underneath my boat. And B is for Mukitas, who plays a sour note. W is Tiasis, X marks a spot. Why? Cause I'm a pirate.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg. Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, where's my grog?
This is WSQT Direct Action Radio, broadcasting on 90.5 FM from Washington, D.C. If you can hear this signal and you like what you hear, send an email to WSQTRadio@hushmail.com. Repeat, WSQTRadio@hushmail.com.
Welcome to Palestine Today, a service of the International Middle East Media Center, www.imemc.org, for Tuesday, August 28, 2012. Israeli court says the army is at no fault in the death of American activist in Gaza 9 years ago. Meanwhile, the Israeli military bombards areas in the Gaza Strip. These stories and more are coming up. Stay tuned. An Israeli court ruled Tuesday that the army was not at fault in the murder of American peace activist Richard Khoury, who was crushed to death by an Israeli military bulldozer in March 2003 while peacefully trying to stop the demolition of a Palestinian home in Rafah in the southern part of the Gaza Strip. The Israeli judge said the death of Rachel was a regrettable accident and claimed that, quote, the army was at no fault, unquote. Moreover, the judge Obed Gershon of the Haifa District Court claimed that Rachel, 23, quote, was killed while protecting terrorists in a combat zone, unquote. Rachel's family brought charges against Israel for intentionally killing their daughter and also accused Israel of not conducting a credible investigation into the death of their daughter. In response, the International Solidarity Movement, ISM, issued a press release condemning the court ruling, saying that it's not just and was not taken based on thorough, credible, and transparent investigation. The ISM said in its statement that it's, quote, deeply concerned by the verdict of Judge Obed Gershon that absolved Israel's military and state of the 2003 murder of American ISM activist Rachel Khoury, unquote. They went on in saying that despite the American administration stating that the Israeli military investigation had not been, quote, thorough, credible, and transparent, unquote, and the Israeli government withholding key video and audio evidence, Judge Gershon found no fault in the investigation or in the conclusion that the military and state were not responsible for Rachel's death. The ISM added that the judge classified Rachel's, quote, nonviolent attempt to prevent war crimes as proof that Rachel was not a thinking person, unquote. The Israeli Navy opened automatic fire at Palestinian fishermen in Palestinian territorial waters north of Beit Lahia in the northern part of the Gaza Strip, and chased several fishing boats to the shore. Al Mizan Center for Human Rights reported that the attack lasted for 10 minutes, leading to no injuries, but the fishermen had to leave the area in order to avoid further attacks by the Navy. Israel repeatedly attacks and kidnaps Palestinian fishermen in the Gaza Strip, despite the fact that they fish in Palestinian waters. In related news, three Palestinians were injured on Tuesday when the army fired missiles at a building west of Jabalia in the northern part of the Gaza Strip. The shelling caused damage in 11 homes and 4 public facilities, including 2 schools. The army also bombarded a maintenance workshop that belongs to the Ministry of Interior in Gaza, causing extensive damage to the workshop and minor damage to the Palestinian Red Crescent Society's sports center. By this, we come to the end of the news for today. This was the Tuesday, August 28th roundup of news from the occupied Palestinian territories. For more news and updates, please visit our website at www.imemc.org. Today's report has been brought to you by Hussam Qassiz and me, George Rishmawi.
Afghanistan, 27th of August. Yet another Afghan soldier shot and killed 2 NATO soldiers before being shot down in turn in Laghman province. The Washington Post reports the shooting was preceded by a verbal disagreement. Afghanistan, 27th of August. A massive suicide truck bombing in Kandahar killed 4 civilians and wounded the provincial police chief overnight, authorities reported Tuesday. The bombing targeted General Abdul Razik, the Kandahar provincial police chief who has a strong anti-Taliban background. Razik survived the bombing with, quote, minor injuries to his face, arms, and one leg. Afghanistan, 27th of August. A Taliban assault with 200 fighters killed 10 Afghan army soldiers at a checkpoint in Helmand province. Afghanistan, 27th of August. 17 people were beheaded by unknown attackers at a party featuring music and dancing. The Washington Post blamed the Taliban, but the Taliban has denied responsibility. In fact, some of the dead may have been insurgents, and some accounts say the beheadings were staged to make it look like social control terrorism, when the whole thing actually began with a fight between 2 Taliban commanders over a woman. According to some reports, the bodies were shot before being beheaded. I don't know if the Taliban has any way to court-martial fighters who commit atrocities the whole organization has to disavow, or if they simply have to sweat about summary execution. Fallujah, Iraq, 28th of August. Insurgents killed a police major by blowing up his house with him inside. Baghdad, Iraq, 28th of August. Insurgents attacked a checkpoint with small arms, killing an Iraqi army officer and an Iraqi government soldier. Baghdad, Iraq, 26th of August. A string of insurgent attacks, some in the city and some in northern Iraq, killed 3 government soldiers, 2 cops, and 5 civilians. Iraq, 27th of August. The so-called Justice Ministry announced a mass execution of 21 people for so-called terrorism. There have been several such mass executions this year by a government the United States put into power. Georgia, United States, 28th of August. As the Republican National Convention gets underway, prosecutors are claiming that a group of active duty and former soldiers formed an anarchist militia with $90,000 worth of weapons and killed 2 people to plug security leaks. Supposedly, their plans were to begin by seizing Fort Stewart, beginning with the ammunition control point. Then the usual list of supposed targets, none of which sound like anything anarchists I've known would ever target, such as one state's apple crop. Interesting that prosecutors would suddenly announce something like this just as the Republican National Convention, which anarchists and Occupy activists are protesting, gets underway. Sound fishy to you? Mr. Barack Obama, stop blaming the anarchist movement for problems you have with the military stemming from two long wars. Stop dreaming that you can succeed in Afghanistan where George W. Bush failed in Iraq. Now's the time to pull the plug, bring all the troops home today.
Solicit soldiers for the army. They never tell you nothing about the girls in the garrison towns, like how they will mistreat you and how old friends will see you when you trade your name for a number and a uniform of brown. When you pick up the gun, when you say goodbye to mom, wherever we from home you run. Sergeant shouted that it's just to drive you crazy. I was luckier than many, though, for I got released in time. Now they tell me I'm a free man, but sometimes I still doubt it. For the more I think about it, freedom's just a state of mind that they keep with the gun. Thank you for the gift of your son. Praise the Lord and bless the bond. The politician tells the people, you gotta have an army. And the soldier tells the writer, the pen is mightier than the sword. But sticks and stones can break my bones, and words will never harm me, said the poet and the writer to the soldier with his words. I will be done. Send the preacher man, glory and another poor boy now. And I can see the soldiers dying. Dead or God, the glory. You can play with the words, but you won't change the story. Strength in their hearts and fear in their eyes. Old soldiers never die, they only fade away. But the young ones do not die, no, they are cut down instead. And someone pulled the trigger, gave the order, held the song. And someone wrote the advert in the paper that they read. I will be done. But you won't get your hands on my son. You can't wait till kingdom come.
We'll be right back.
This is WSQT Direct Action Radio, broadcasting on 90.5 FM from Washington, D.C. If you can hear this signal and you like what you hear, send an email to WSQTRadio@hushmail.com. Repeat, WSQTRadio@hushmail.com. Campaign of punitive strikes against a grand jury investigating anarchists and occupiers on the West Coast continues. You may remember the Wednesday, 25th of July FBI raids against activists in Portland, Olympia, and Seattle. In those raids, search warrants listed anarchist literature as the subject of a search warrant stolen by cops as they smashed people's homes. In addition to the raids, a grand jury began a fishing expedition into West Coast anarchists and occupiers. Now the shoe is on the other foot. Not one person receiving a grand jury subpoena has agreed to cooperate, and a storm of anarchist property destruction attacks was set off by the raids. On the 22nd of August, in San Francisco's Mission District, anarchists smashed every yuppie or gentrified thing they could find. Afterwards, they released this communique. In the early morning of August the 22nd, in San Francisco's Mission District, we joyfully attacked all presence of gentrification and yuppie windows we could find. These malicious acts were done in solidarity with those in the Pacific Northwest resisting grand juries. New and old condos, cafes, BMWs, Porsches, Mercedes, antique stores, fine restaurants, modern furniture stores, among many others, had their windows permanently etched with the anarchy symbol, die, die yuppie scum, fuck off yuppies, yuppies out, and a variety of other obscenities. To our companions currently facing or who do face grand juries in the future, say nothing. You have waves of invisibles behind you ready to coalesce from the woodwork and attack at the ready. The people and businesses we attacked with smiles and laughs have for decades and still continue to actively displace and destroy the generations of families in the Mission while continuing the project of capital by commodifying and compartmentalizing all modes of existence and ways of being. This project of capital is enforced and backed up in every regard with a constant harassment, beatings, and murders of the San Francisco Police Department. In this regard, we send our fiercest love to those who recently rendered unusable San Francisco Police Department and Oakland Police Department vehicles. We see your actions, we are inspired, and continue the attack. It's so easy. We also send our revolutionary fire to the Tinley Park 5, the Cleveland 4, C.C. McDonald, Eric McDavid, Marie Mason, and all others who attacked the existent. That's the end of the communique. The folks named in the end are activist prisoners of war, either facing extreme charges or serving long prison terms for fighting back. Hey, FBI and grand juries, if you don't like the heat anarchists are bringing down on you and your masters, now's the time to get out of the kitchen. Cancel all the grand jury subpoenas, release our prisoners, and apologize on your knees for the raids.
Last week, Mayor Michael Bloomberg and Police Commissioner Ray Kelly unveiled a new data collection and analysis system they call the Domain Awareness System. It combines a network of public and private surveillance cameras, automatic license plate readers, 911 calls, and police databases, allowing police to track the movements through time and space of individuals in minute detail. developed by the NYPD and Microsoft. The domain awareness system is being called a crime-fighting tool, but in fact, it doesn't track crime or criminals. It tracks everything and everybody. Civil rights advocates say the implications of massive surveillance like this for our privacy rights are profound, but the legal system has not yet caught up with the technology. To fight back against pervasive surveillance of innocent citizens, the Washington, D.C.-based Partnership for Civil Justice Fund has launched a new interactive website, BigBrotherAmerica.org, to watch the watchers. Carl Massinio, legal director of the partnership, says the domain awareness system is much more than a simple crime-fighting database.
It's a surveillance grid that is being put up throughout New York City and plans to export it across the country, where feeds are brought in from private corporations and government that will monitor the movement and the activity of all persons, law-abiding persons, without any suspicion that people were engaged in any type of misconduct. And it provides basically a massive data warehouse and data mining program. While it's being presented as a law enforcement tool, there will be authorized access to data by what they call private stakeholders, to include the Bank of New York, Brookstone, Goldman Sachs, Citigroup, many, many large financial institutions, as well as other corporations.
Now, this is a feature that has been noted before, that in the surveillance centers of the NYPD, there are actually booths that have plaques for the various corporations on them. What business does business have being part of a police surveillance system?
We would say they have no business. I mean, even the government is far exceeding what should be permitted to it in terms of its intrusiveness. This is the modern-day manifestation of the military-industrial complex, and it's intruding upon us in the most intimate and personal ways. And what is happening as a consequence of this is that these businesses, those that are granted access, and certainly the government, are going to be able to have access to all information about our activities, our conduct, our associations, and when that's cross-referenced and aggregated with other digitized transaction information, such as credit card information or cell phone GPS tracking data, with only a few keystrokes, they are able to get a complete profile on what we have done as law-abiding persons. So far, an intrusiveness that they can even create a personality profile. Imagine, were you parked outside of a health clinic? They know. Were you parked outside of a lover's apartment? They know. Who was in the vicinity of a social justice or political organizing meeting? They will know that. If you go to an AA meeting, that's there. And the data retention, I mean, the limits are just so loose, it's absurd. I mean, the standard limits for license plate, which is movement tracking data, is 5 years retention. And that, of course, can be expanded. So what we are talking about is not just domain awareness, but total information awareness.
There have been court rulings on things like placing GPS trackers on cars. You have to have a search warrant in order to do that. Are there any judicial opinions on the random or mass collection of data and its use in criminal investigations without warrants or suspicion?
That's a very good question, an important area of legal development. And historically, constitutional law has lagged far behind advances in technology. At this point, there are specific opinions. For example, going onto someone's curtilage or going onto their driveway to put a GPS tracker on someone's car is an intrusion of privacy. But that's in part because the police have to physically trespass to do that. Right now, there's a big gray area as to mass surveillance technologies. And there is a recognition by some courts, only some, that the aggregation of little pieces of data over a long period of time creates such a complete profile of a person and his or her activities and associations that it truly becomes intrusive, even though There's no physical contact involved. And this is part of what the development of the law has got to recognize. These are not physically intrusive means. And a lot of the issues of expectation of privacy and privacy law have been focused on, well, is it intrusive to the person? Does it hurt the person? And is that justifiable? Here, this technology happens surreptitiously, painlessly, but yet is as intrusive as going and listening and tape recording to a person's therapist sessions.
Another odd aspect of this is that the city of New York is marketing this. The city stands to make a 30% cut of any profits that Microsoft makes on selling this software to other administrations within the United States or even internationally. This is making surveillance a going business concern for a municipality. This is Big Brother going commercial.
Well, exactly. And by introducing the profit motive, it makes it absolutely clear that there will be a proliferation of this technology unless people intervene and use social activism, law, and legislation to take control of this technology. The profit motivation is to utilize this, to sell it to governments, to sell it to corporations, and to make money off of it. And what's at stake for us is truly our way of life and our political freedom. Technology is always going to advance. Of course, that's a great social value. But how we use and how we restrict technology is a political decision. And right now it's time for us to take charge before the corporations make this a fait accompli.
The Partnership for Civil Justice has launched BigBrotherAmerica.org, One Nation Under Surveillance. How does this allow people to participate in fighting back?
It provides two functions. One is a clearinghouse function. We are an interactive website where people are able to report and submit to the website for dissemination widely examples of the deployment of these technologies in localities across the country. So that, for example, use of license plate reader technology, people are able to submit through the website to us, and we've got an interactive map that is plotting graphically the proliferation of this technology across the country. People can also send in the photos, locations of tag readers. They can download posters for the One Nation Under Surveillance campaign. They can get resources and information about ways that they can challenge the local municipal rollout of these technologies. Because the fact is, locally, we have the ability to use our city councils, our state legislatures, as well as the Congress, to both demand oversight hearings and also to demand restrictions. That is, simply to say that before mass surveillance technology be implemented, be executed, that there be a privacy impact assessment that is conducted, that there be an informed and public debate about what fields of data are being collected on our everyday activities and who has access and what the restrictions are, and let us determine what is the proper scope. And there needs to be severe penalties on misuse of data.
Carl Massinio is legal director of the Partnership for Civil Justice Fund based in Washington, D.C. Again, the website for tracking the nationwide system of surveillance is bigbrotheramerica.org.
August 26th, Wisconsin GOP Governor Scott Walker got an unpleasant surprise at a pre-GOP convention appearance at the Tampa Theater. As he appeared on stage in front of a giant U.S. flag, protesters suddenly shouted him down and dropped a banner reading "Working Families" from the balcony before security guards and right-wingers could counterattack. Protesters were escorted out. They were harassed and interrogated by heavily armored police dressed like Imperial Stormtroopers from Star Wars. A still-running video camera caught all of this audio.
Can you let go of me yet? It was a really boring event. I'm not really interested in staying any longer.
Another one free to go?
Am I being detained?
All of the protesters had to deal with the humiliation of having these heavily armored stormtroopers that looked like turtles demanding personal information and identity documents.
Did you see Ben New York?
Yeah.
What's your date of birth?
November
12th. Step over the way.
Right up.
Where you'll get wet. H-A-Y-L-E. Back there, right? Where's your ID at?
Garbage like this is why I never carry identification documents to any kind of protest or direct action.
Just don't agree with everything you're talking about, so
I decided
to disrupt.
ID stops were a form of personal humiliation widely used by police to control people. As the Republican National Convention has built up, police have been following protesters dressed in heavy armor that looks like something a turtle would wear, painted desert camouflage like something out of the Iraq War. It has been very clear that at this Republican National Convention, like at the previous three Republican National Conventions, the police have every intention of defying the Constitution and trampling all over First Amendment rights. Interestingly, the entire Republican National Convention and the entire area surrounding it are inside a steel cage similar to the cage that was put around a convention center and surrounding neighborhoods during a NATO summit here in D.C. during 2010. Clearly, this is a militarized convention with no respect for the Constitution, and these steel cages are a symbol of the kind of government we can expect if Mitt Romney gets into the White House. First of August, Occupy Our Homes showed up in front of Freddie Mac demanding the cancellation of a robo-signed foreclosure against retired D.C. paramedic Deborah Harris. During the protest, it was revealed that former D.C. Mayor Anthony Williams, famous for evicting the poor, is now on Freddie Mac's board.
He's on the board of Freddie Mac!
Former Mayor Williams?
So what are we? Do we think the poor mayor of D.C. should help evict a D.C. resident, a D.C. first responder?
No!
Should Freddie Mac, should Tony Williams get paid to do that?
No!
Should Tony Williams be allowed to do that?
No!
Should his life be comfortable while he does that?
No!
So what should we do to Tony Williams?
Go to his house!
So we're going to stand up, we're going to fight back, we're going to be launching a petition against Tony Williams to get him to change his mind, and we're going to keep on going, and we're going to go on to Tony Williams' house in the future. Who will be there?
I will be there.
We're going to keep fighting until Deborah Harris has her house, and if they dare send even one federal marshal to Deborah Harris' house, we will be there. We will be linking arms. They will not take Deborah Harris's house from her.
Like last time, Freddie Mac tried to lock protesters out.
Call upstairs and demand that they let us in.
Got detachment breaking off to try the other door.
Well, they can't use either door at least.
But we need people to keep the building locked.
Yeah, we stay. Yeah.
One crew is going to hold the blockade here and keep it locked. And within minutes, they agreed to accept Deborah Harris's petitions.
Anyway, got a chance to talk to someone from Freddie Mac and say that they will make sure that the petitions get to the right people. They didn't try to work with us, so we just have to wait and see what's going on.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
any
she's
promises?
Working in court. She's working in court,
yes,
to show that she has legal title to her lawyer. And we'll pass. And And then also, right. So try to show that a plea of title to show that she does have title to the property, but also and also that they used RoboSign in it for her case.
It wasn't long ago that Freddie Mac was trying to foreclose on Miss Bertina Jones, but she got involved with Occupier Homes, and instead of an eviction, she got a new loan. She remains active with Occupier Homes to this day and showed up at the rally speaking out for Deborah Harris.
I am proud of this organization and what they stand for. Thank you.
We're going to keep fighting until Deborah Harris has her house, and if they dare send even one federal marshal to Deborah Harris' house, we will be there. We will be linking arms. They will not take Deborah Harris' house from her.
Tony the Rat, he was a mayor and he's still a rat. Evicting us all, condos and baseball. You do be mayor, he's a Freddie Mac. Freddie the Mac, Freddie the Mac. Evicting the people who bailed him out. What would you expect with Tony on board? Evicted us, said he's evicting us now. Tony the Rat, Freddie the Mac. Stop the evictions and put down the knife. You come to our homes, we're coming to yours. The wheel is rolling, see you soon.
On the morning of August 11th, 2012, over 150 protesters from throughout the Marcellus Shale region and across New York State united in solidarity. Their purpose was to use direct action in the form of a blockade outside the main access gate at an industrial facility operated by Schlumberger Limited in Horseheads, New York. Many protesters were ready and willing to put their bodies and lives on the line in order to protect and defend their communities. All were prepared for direct confrontation with the gas industry and local authorities. When Schlumberger became aware of the large number of protesters assembled at the front gate, trucks that were headed to the facility were redirected to an off-site location. Daily operations were successfully halted. Protesters effectively used their bodies to physically prevent hydraulic fracturing-related processes from taking place at Schlumberger for nearly 6 hours. Schlumberger is the world's largest oil field services corporation, whose greatest determination, in their own words, is to produce superior profits. Operations at the site have uncovered silica dust, which blows freely onto an elementary school, a child care center, and a community recreation center nearby. Silica dust causes lesions on the lungs, shortness of breath, cough, fever, and can lead to the fatal disease silicosis. Schlumberger refuses to disclose the chemicals being stored at their facility. Among their long list of environmental disasters, they are responsible for contaminating soil and water in Bradford County, Pennsylvania, with hydrochloric acid. Short-term exposure to the chemical can result in severe burns, blindness, and respiratory damage. Schlumberger has also violated radioactive material handling regulations, exposing workers to unsafe conditions.
Residents of the Southern Tier have shown the public, the industry, and legislators that they will stop at nothing to block fracking developments in their communities. Direct actions will continue to escalate and increase in frequency, as well as support a diversity of tactics to confront the natural gas industry as it continues to place profits over human health and the environment. Activists throughout the Marcellus Shale region stand in solidarity with those resisting invasive extraction practices worldwide.
Fracking
fracking is a form of natural gas drilling, an alternative to oil, cause the oil kept spilling, bringing jobs to small towns, so everybody's willing. People turn on the lights and the drillers make a killing.
Water goes into the pipe into the ground, the pressure cranes fission 7,000 feet down. The cracks release the gas that powers your town, that will is fracked, yeah, totally fracked.
But there's more in the water than just H2O. Toxic chemicals help to make the fluid flow, with names like benzene and formaldehyde. You better keep them far away from the water supply.
The drillers say the fishes are a mile below the groundwater pumped into American homes, but don't tell it to the residents of Sublet-Wayo. That water's fracked. We're talking benzene.
What the frack is going on with all this fracking going on? I think we need some facts to come to light. I know we want our energy, but nothing ever comes for free. I think my water's on fire tonight.
So it all goes back to 2005. Bush said gas drillers didn't have to comply with the Safe Drinking Water Act before too long. It was frack, baby, frack until the break of dawn.
With the EPA out, it was up to the states, but they didn't have the money to investigate. Sick people couldn't prove fracking was to blame, all the while water wells were going up in flames.
Cause it's hard to contain all the methane released. It can get into the air, it can get into the streams. It's a greenhouse gas worse than CO2. Fracking done wrong could lead to climate change too.
Now it's not that drillers should never be fracking, but the current regulation is severely lacking. Reduce the toxins contained in the gas and wastewater, and the people will get sick and the planet will get hotter.
What the frack is going on with all this fracking going on? I think we need some facts to come to light. I know we want our energy, but nothing ever comes for free. I think our water's on fire tonight.